Perfect. All right, so we are holding on the second line of the middle five lines on Copia Bays on the Olive.
Second line of the middle size line.
If you have a behemoth, that half of it belongs to somebody from the Ir Nidachas and the other half belongs to somebody from outside the city, Asura, such a behemoth is Asur. On the other hand, Isa, Chet Yishol Ir Nidachas, on the other hand, you have a batch of dough, which is the same thing, half that belongs to Ir Nidachas, half belongs to somebody from another city, Muteret, that would be Mut. My time, what is the difference? Behema commandalet pligadam, yeah, because an animal is not something, is considered that it's not divided. Now, Isa commandalet pligadam, yeah, where the dough is. Meaning, as far as the animal, there's a couple of different ways of explaining it among the Mephoshim. Rashi says the vort is, in order to eat meat from an animal, you have to shecht. The problem is over here, the shechita over here, this animal is not going to be shechted, it has to be killed as part of the thing of the Ir Nidachas. Therefore,
the shechita is not matzah, the shechita is basically not shechita, it's just the equivalent of killing it, and that can't be killed because
it says the behemoth of Ir Nidachas. Half of it anyway is the behemoth of Ir Nidachas, and it has to be killed. So therefore, that's not a valid shechita in the same way as, for example, the shechita of a shor haniskol, let's say, that the Gemara is going to talk about, actually, the Gemara is not going to talk about it, but we're just like we learned about a shor haniskol in Bava Kamma, for example, a shor haniskol after Gemar Din, even if you shechted, it's also behind the law.
Here's a similar kind of thing. So that's that. As far as opposed to a dough, you can divide them anytime you want.
And this animal is not meant to be shechted, it's meant to be killed. Therefore shechting it does not take over therefore shechting it does not change the fact.
The dough is meant to be destroyed.
No, but that only half of it. But so there are a couple of other explanations. So Ran asked some questions on Rashi. He understands it a little bit differently. The vort is because this animal was half also bahana and half not, therefore it means, so what happens when you shecht it? You need a complete shechita to make it mutter. Like this, half the shechita is not a shechita. So therefore, the other half of the shechita is not enough to make it mutter to eat it. The Gemara is going to ask soon whether that is enough even to make it that it won't at least be tomeil as an avela, whether at least it's a valid shechita to that extent. But at least...
Well, that's essentially what Rashi is saying, is that it does. But
from
Rashi, the way Rashi phrases it, it comes out that technically, if you were able to shecht it, fine, the half that doesn't belong to the Ir
Nidachas
wouldn't be
also
bound up. It's just you can't do a valid shechita. The other way of looking at it is,
the Ram says that basically what it is the shechita itself, you're doing only a half a shechita, and half a shechita is not enough to make it kosher. And the Adramah talks about another
idea, in that the animal becomes also as an animal, meaning as a living being. So if you shaft it and then divide it, then you still have an animal. The mysterious of as it becomes also is of a living animal, there's no way to divide it.
As opposed to a doe, you can. For the doe, there's not a kind of mysterious of
one plus a doe, there's no difference between one big batch of doe and two smaller ones, as opposed to an animal.
Well, that's a living creature versus when it's dead.
I would say the whole doe.
No, because, now you do have a point that the Shagas Aliyah brings up, which is, what about the whole concept of Breda? On the face of it, you're only going to know afterwards, once they divide it, which half was which. And we know in things that are Raisa in Breda, but over here, the halacha is that Amman Paskins, like our Gemara over here, that it does work. So therefore, so different Achronim talk about different possibilities of it. One is that Beis Din, in fact, has in mind when they do the Gemar Din that it's only going to be Chal, the Din of the Ir Nidachas is only going to be Chal on the part that ends up belonging to the person that is from the Ir Nidachas. Breira would be where you have to have that to begin with. It has to have been before the Gemar Din that it was split like this. You don't really have that like this. You don't really need that. You only need that to be done after. You only need it to be done afterwards. Reb Shimon Shkop also talks in Shari Yosha. He says a vaguely similar idea that the important point is over here that he says up until it's divided, you don't really have something that's also bahana anyway. You just have eventually when it gets divided, one half of it is also bahana. So fine, as soon as it's divided, then half of it becomes also bahana. The other half not.
You can say the other way around. Until it's divided, The whole thing is
no, but that's not the way he looks. So that's the verb. As opposed to, again, the Rav Shimon Shkop says that, as opposed to with an animal, again, the mitzvah, at least according to the Yad Ramah, the point is the mitzvah of an animal is it's the mitzvah of an animal which is off there.
And that mitzvah is no longer there, but you can't sit still. The original mitzvah of a live animal was still
But
that's because the whole thing becomes nesach as soon as the goy touches it. But over here, we're not talking about that. Over here, only half of it belongs to the Erni Daka.
So if a Jew touches the same thing,
it's a different kind of thing. Okay. Boy.
The thing of Erni Daka, not only the time of Shkita, what about when it comes to the animal of Erni Daka?
Help. We said that shchita does not help to make it mutter to eat, but does at least help the tarim in de nevela? Does it at least help to make that now it won't be considered nevela? It won't be even metame if you touch it. Do we say lefi cherav amar Rachmana? The pasuk says that everything in the Erni Daka has to be killed by the sword. Therefore,
so it doesn't really matter whether you did a shechting or whether you did a killing. Either way, it's lefi cherav.
So therefore, in other words, so therefore, it wouldn't matter. Even if you did a shita, it would be no different than stabbing it, for example. It would still be considered an avela. Oidilma, or maybe not, given to shachta, once he did shechta, the fact is he did do an actual shita on it, fine, it can't be enough to be matir et basila for the reasons we said before, but at least maybe mahanyala shita. Maybe at least it helps shita. Mai, so what's the din? And the answer is teku. We don't know. The Rambam actually, it was Perek Echad of Rambam the other day. This whole thing of Erni Dachas was all in Perek Echad of Rambam a few days ago. The Rambam does not even bring this question about whether it's Metahe Migei Nevela.
Because that's it. I mean, we have a stop about it. Once we established before
the Shchita doesn't help to be master at Bachila, then we don't really ask the question. We don't go further.
How about another question? What about the hair of the tzitkonius, meaning the women of the Erni Daka who did not move over to Zara?
So they themselves are not killed. We know that.
What about their hair? Is that part of the slough? Is that part of the spoil of the city?
What happened to the bagel?
What about the chateigel? The women didn't do anything.
That's the point. Their hair was considered spoiled.
No, but there it's not. There wasn't an Erni Daka. Here we're talking about an Erni Daka, where we know that even the Nichse Tzadikim, we know, as we said in the Mishnah, that even the Nechosim of the Tzadikim that are in the city still have to be burned, because the fact that they had no business living in such a city.
We're asking
the hair of the Noshim Tzadikim.
Right.
Omar Rava, so Rava says, are you implying Hadi Rishoyas also? So what are you implying, that you're the hair of the Rishoyas, of the women over there who did worship Avodah Zarah? You're assuming would definitely be also, that you would have to burn it? Why? Tikvot v'sarach, the Pasuk says that you should gather and burn, implying Mishen Mechotze Elekvitzo Restrefa. The only things that have to be burned are the things that all you have to do before burning them is gather them together. Just as that, you need to cut it off, then you need to gather it together and we then burn it. That's saying, take what's the Sarah for the pulses in the mind. We know automatically then, hair that's on the head is not going to be off the bottom of the body. It's going to be off the bottom of the head, the hair of that. That's a different question. The point is, it doesn't have to be gathered up and burned. So why are you asking about the hair of the Titania? So when you're not going to cover the Sarah, you find that you are going to be assuming that the hair of the Rishoyas definitely has to be burned, and you're wondering about the one of the Titanias. Why? On the face of it, the hair of the Rishoyas doesn't have to be burned either. Because it's still on their head, right?
It only is burned once it's
only things that are detached.
Yeah. Ella, Omar
says he's asking the question of the head.
But that's what
Rava assumed. Ella Omar Rava. So Rava says, we're talking not talking about hair that's attached. But pay a knocker. We have to be talking about a wig. So therefore, now the question would be, Rabbi Yosef's question would be, do the wigs that belong to the Noshim Tzadkonius, do those need to be burnt?
And that's it,
yeah.
So we have this question in front of us about wigs coming.
That's a different thing. That's where it came from Avodah Zarah. That's a different matter. Here we're talking about a different issue. Here the question is whether it's considered shlal of the city. Is it considered among the spoils of the city?
They didn't do Avodah Zarah.
The women who didn't, right.
Yeah.
So the question is, Heichidomi, what's
why
the...
Why didn't we have enough focus for the women who did not question
it? That's, one second, Heichidomi, what is the scenario over here? Idem chuba begufa, if the wig is actually attached to her, which means it actually says it's tied onto her head, well, of course, kegufa damya, of course, it's just like her goof. So now, just like Rashi says, it's a tonius, we certainly don't burn the clothing that is on them. They go out of the city, they lose all their possessions, they all get burnt, but we certainly don't strip them and make them leave. We let them take the clothes on their backs. So then the same thing should be true of the sheitel, if she's wearing it. Now, with that said, by the way, there is a Gemara in Erchin, which also talks briefly about the Irani Dachas over there, and Rashi mentions over there, that in fact they do, they have to leave without their clothing, without anything, even their clothing gets burned. Some of Farshim deal in a number of different ways with the possibilities. One of them actually the Minchas Chinuch talks about an interesting possibility. We learned in the Mishnah that Reb Shimon had said that the nechassim of the nechassim of the tzaddikim over there are burnt because. It's because of those nechassim that they were in the city. It's alderach like with loyd and tzedayim. What brought him there in the first place is all his wealth. Therefore, he ended up losing all his wealth. Well, Reb Shimon is usually the type that darshin and taima dekra. He's the kind who he always says in chat, we look for the reasoning behind what the pasuk says, and then we use that to apply the halacha. So he might say, therefore, well, look, clothing you'd have to be wearing anywhere. There's not going to be a difference whether you're not going to stay in a particular city because you have clothing. So therefore, he might be saying, therefore, there's a difference of clothing on their backs they can take with them. Mashenkin, the Chachamim, who say that if it's their sakot, if you've got to burn all the shlal of the city, they might have to say, okay, well, that includes the clothes on their backs as well. Okay, maybe you let them take, like, rags or whatever. You don't make them go out completely naked, but at least, maybe, according to the Chachamim, maybe Taka, you would have to burn the shape lock and whatever.
What about the men's clothes?
Same idea. Same idea. The Gemara is asking about a sheitel for a reason that the Gemara is going to say in a second. We can have a distinction over there within a sheitel. Anyway, the Minchas Chinuch goes on to say that's taka why the Rambam doesn't bring this whole question about the sheitel either, because the halacha is like the Chachamim, not like the Shimon. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether it's Nechassim that brought them to stay in the city or not. Either way, Nechassim or Nechassim.
And they have to be
burned. And they would have to be burned. Okay. Anyway, so if the sheitel is attached to her, if it's on her head, then it's kegufa dam. The answer is leitzricha de toli besivta. No, but the point of the question is, of Rabbi Yosef's question, what if the sheitel is right now hanging on a hook? You're not wearing it right now. So the question is, do we say it's like the other nechassim of all the tzaddikim, just like everything else, all the other possessions of the tzaddikim still get burnt because they had no business living in such a city, so the sheitel would be the same thing. Or maybe because she does always put it on. So fine, right now she's not particularly wearing it because she's at home and she doesn't need to be wearing a sheitel, or because this time she went out with a tichel or whatever, but generally speaking, when she goes out, she's always putting it on. Therefore, kalabush adami. Therefore, you could argue it's considered part of a labush.
Even on a hook.
Even if right now, at this particular moment, at the time of Gvardin, it's on a hook. And again, the answer is teku. The Yad Ramah has a different understanding of this business on a hook or not. He says the vote is there's two ways to wear a sheitel. You could have where you actually glue it onto your head. I guess in those days, women would do that. Or you could have, you just hold it on with like pegs that you put on like a framework or whatever on top of your head. I guess like nowadays they have combs inside sheitels or whatever, and you put it on like that. So that would be the question. If it's attached to your head, of course it's part of your head. The question would be, if you only have it held on with the combs or whatever, would that be considered part of the levushim or not? Okay. Anyway, like I said, the Minchas Chinuch points out that Amnam doesn't Bechlal discussed this whole matter of the sheitel, apparently because the Rambam learns that the question over here is only a coincidence of Shimon, and the halacha is like a chachamim anyway. There's no need, right? Either way, yes, the sheitel would have to be burnt, yeah. Okay. And the Mishnah said, that's called shalal b'tikvitz al tercher chayv. We said that all of the shlal, all of the possessions of the city have to be gathered into the city square, and we said in the Mishnah that what if the city does not have a rechoiv, then you build it one.
Right. How do you build a...
You clear an area in the city and make a rechoiv. You make a city square. So Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in a braita, it's actually a machloikus. Eimo rechoiv ein nafis ir nidachas divir Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that if it doesn't have a square, you cannot make it an ir nidachas. Rabbi Akiva, Omer eimo rechoiv, eis not rechoiv. And Rabbi Akiva says, as we said in the Mishnah, that fine, if it doesn't have a rechoiv, you make it one right there on the spot.
Which is just a space.
Yeah. But my commitment would be, what is the underlying machlokes? Mar sover rechoiv de meikra mashma. Rabbi Shmuel holds rechoiv implies something that it had up until now. So if you make it a rechoiv right now, then you're no good. because that's not, you can't say tikvah tzal tzarech l'chayva. This is, by the way, we had a concept earlier in the Masechta called ba'inan kro k'dichtiv. Do we have to have that when the pasuk spells out details, it has to be done as exactly as possible as it says in the pasuk? So both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva apparently agree with that idea.
That.
And therefore, they both agree the city does have to have a rechoy. The difference is, just Rabbi Shmuel saying, the rechoyva implies that it has had a rechoy before, and now you're coming and gathering everything there and burning it. Therefore, if it didn't have a rechoy, then you can't make it in Eirani Dachas, because you need to be able to fulfill it. No. Rabbi Akiva agrees, fine. But he says, rechoyva doesn't have to mean one that existed before. Fine, you make a new rechoy right now, that can still be considered rechoyva.
One saying you're going to exist now, the other one saying
it had to exist before. Then we said in the Mishnah that hektish that is in the Irani Dachas should be redeemed. The Rambam, by the way, learns that when we say redeemed over here, it means you redeem it, but then afterwards you have to burn it. The Ravid argues on that. It's basically two ways of understanding. You have to redeem it because otherwise it's shlal shamayim, otherwise it belongs to Hashem. But once you redeem it, then it becomes mom and violin, then it becomes the property of the owners, and therefore it should be burned. The Ravid disagrees with that. He says that what's the point of being poydet only in order to burn it? It basically they're arguing based on the Gemara that we're going to have on this Amud. There's a number of different ways of understanding the different opinions on our Amud.
Okay.
Yeah. So, turn it up on.
We always learned that it belongs to the Eishter.
But that's the point, in other words. So that's the thing. So the Ravid would understand Yipadu means, since it's Shlal Shemayim, it does not the Chlal belong to the owner, although the Gemara is going to talk about there may be certain kind of Kudshim that do belong to the owner. We'll get into that, right? But because basically it's Shlal Shemayim, it belongs to Hashem, therefore, fine. You can treat it like any other Kudshim, redeem him, and they're Motzavana. According to the Rambam, Yipodu is you pay to them just to make them that they're no more Shlal Shamayim. But then afterwards, they revert to being Shlal Shlala. They still revert to being, after you pay to them, then they revert to being Shlal of the city. Now they belong to the people of the city, therefore they have to be burnt.
How do you revert them?
Because you pay to them, you exchange them for money. Yeah. Yeah,
And then that's it.
Then they become also. By being pay to them, now they become also because they're part of the property of an Irnidach. Turn it up on. If there were kodshim in the Irani Dachas, so it depends what kind of kodshim we're talking about. Kodshim is be'ach. If they're animals that were supposed to be brought onto them as be'ach, yomusu, they have to be left to die. Now, the normal thing we say in our shas, when an animal for a korban has to be left to die, usually what it means is you put it in a room, you lock the door, and you wait until it dies. Here, actually, Rashi says an interesting thing, which is that you do to them similar to the kippah that we learned about 30 blocks ago, similar to what we do with certain criminals who we can't punish in the usual way. We put them in a kippah and we feed them barley until their stomach explodes. But Rashi says the same thing over here. Mepharshim asks why it would be different over here than the usual case of Yomotsu. Okay, anyway, whatever it is, they have to die. You cannot bring them as korbanos, as the Gemara is going to discuss. Kodshim bedekabayis, if they're kodshim that were supposed to go to bedekabayis, meaning that they only have kudushas damim, they don't have kudushas like goof, they weren't to be brought on the mizbeach, it's just their value was meant to be given to the treasury of Hektish, yipadu, then those have to be redeemed. Utrumos yukavu, if it was truma, it has to be left to rot. Or maisa sheni, the kisvei kodesh, if it's maisa sheni, or holy writings, like books of Tanakh or whatever, yigandu, those should be put in gniza.
Kodshim is not really kodshim.
But it's a kind of kodshim. They have kedushas dami.
It's a minor.
It's kedushas dami. So therefore you padu. Therefore they have to be redeemed. What? That's what we're going to talk about later. At the bottom of the Amud. Why is it my yet? Okay. Reb Shimon Omer Behemta. Reb Shimon says when the Pasuk says you have to destroy its animals, the animals of the city, implying v'loy behemoth b'chor meiser, the word behemta is a mirt, meaning not animals of b'chor and meiser, right. as we're going to discuss further on the Amud, why he would say b'chor and meiser are different. Shlala, and when the Pasuk says it spoils, pras l'kesef hektish v'kesef meiser, that comes to exclude money of hektish and money of meiser, those things do not have to be destroyed. So part of this, that depends who you ask. That's part of the argument between the Kesef Mishnah understands over there in the Machloikas of the Rambam and the Ravid, whether we have to be poured to these things and then burn them or not, or whether it's just we're poured to them and then we're allowed to keep them. That basically depends. Do we look at it that Reb Shimon is disagreeing with the Tanakhama? In that case, the halacha would have to be like the Tanakhama. Or is Reb Shimon explaining what the Tanakhama is saying? In which case, the halacha can well be like him. So the Rambam apparently understands it the first way, and the Ravid understands it the second way. That they're arguing. Therefore, the halacha has to be like the Tanakhama. That Kodshim is Ve'ach Yomotsu and so forth. The Ravid can understand that Reb Shimon is agreeing with the Tanakhama and clarifying what he's saying.
The Rambam and the Ravid would have to disagree.
Yeah. Okay. Not always. As a matter of fact, there's a general rule among the Klolei HaPoskim that in places where the Ravid does not disagree with the Rambam, implicitly he agrees with him.
Well, that's obvious.
Okay, it's not
how
so
many
obvious.
Places are there?
There's a lot more places. There's a lot of places where the Ravid argues with the Rambam. There's much more places where he doesn't disagree with him, and therefore implicitly he accepts what the Rambam says.
But in your understanding and knowledge, what's the percentage of
agreement? I don't know what percentage. You can look at an average chapter. In an average chapter of Rambam, the Ravid disagrees maybe 1, 2, 3 times. You're average 20 halachas or so in a parak. Okay. All right. Kodshim. So we said, now let's analyze the Brayse. So we said if there are Kodshim in the Erni Dachas, Kodshim is Ve'ach Yomus. So we said the Kodshim that was supposed to be offered on the Mizbeach should be left to die. The question is, Amai Yomusu. Why should they have to be left to die? Now, Mela, for example, if they're chatois, okay, the halacha taka is that a chatas shemesu balea, a chatas whose owner died, taka that halacha on which we see now they have to be left to die. But, for example, the rule is that if it's an osham, you don't need that. With an osham, the rule is that if the owner died, you leave it to pasture, yirachi stavu, you leave them to pasture until they develop a mum, the yimachu, and then they're sold, the yiflo, the man, the nadava, and then the money from them goes to buy a korban nadava, goes to buy olus for the mizbeach, it's lifetime. Eventually, in its lifetime, it'll develop a mum. If not, then you just bury it, and then when it dies, you bury it, because it's also by nerve. But the point is, why were you saying yamutsu? Let's say there was an osham over there. Why are you taking it and locking it up in the room and feeding it barley, etc., like Rashi says? Why not do with it what you would usually do with an osham that's fossil? So we have a machlokas. Rabbi Yechanan Omer Zevach Hashoyim Te'eva. Rabbi Yechanan says the reason is because, as the pasuk says, the karbonos of Hashoyim are disgusting to Hashem, meaning not only the korban itself, but even the monetary value of it is disgusting, and Hashem doesn't want it. And therefore, that's it. Even if it was an osham, even if it was whatever, that's what we have to do. There's no way that it or its value can be brought as a korban. Rish Lakish on a moment by Lemu. Rish Lakish says that no, what we're talking about over here is, we mean korbanos that are considered to belong to the owner. Specifically, we're talking about the case of kodshim where you're responsible to make up for them. We know there's two different ways that a person can make a neder to bring a korban. There can be a person can say harei olai ola, for example, I pledge to bring an ola, and in that case, then later on he designates a particular animal for it. If that animal dies or develops a mum or gets lost or what have you, he's responsible to bring another one. As opposed to if he starts by saying to begin with, Hare zu oila, this particular animal is an oila. So if it dies or becomes a mum or whatever, nothing happens. He's not obligated to bring another one because it was only this particular one. Now, so here we're talking about Kodshim Shechayev Bachriyus, some Kodshim where he's responsible to make them up. Rav Shimon, he dama mum and bailamu. So this Raisa would go according to Reb Shimon, who says that such korbanos are considered mom and bailim, because even though they themselves don't belong to the bailim, but he holds dover agoim lamomen to mom and dummy. If you have something which is something which it itself is not considered to have monetary value, but it causes its loss or whatever triggers a monetary obligation on you, he holds it would be considered mom. Therefore, that korban is considered mom and bailim. So therefore, it's like any other mom of the owner. It's like any other mom, which is shlala, the shlala of the city, and therefore it has to be destroyed.
And the other thing is,
whereas Rabbi Yechanan would say, even the Chachamim would disagree and say that all Kodshim are Mom and Gavaya, he would still say, Zavach Roshayim Te'eva, the Korban of a Rosha can never be brought as a Korban, and not it, not its value, so that's it. Question is, Homid is safer of Shimon? Yes, but if the second part of the Braisa is like Rav Shimon, because we continue in the Braisa, Rav Shimon says, Behemta, Veloy Behemoth, Bechorah Meister, etc., evidently, Reisha lavra of Shimon. Evidently, then the Reisha is not appointed of Shimon. So how is this Lakish going to understand
the Sefer?
Because if you're only introducing Reb Shimon in the Sefer, it implies that the Reisha is not like him. The answer is Bekotchim Kalim Validit of Yisag Rivi. Okay, but the Reisha can be talking about specifically Kodshim Kalim And we can bring in another opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Agnili, Dharma Kodshim Kalim, Mum and Violence. He says that Kodshim Kalim, since if it's, for example, Shlomim, a Shlomim, a Toida, a Chor, Meiser, whatever, are all Kodshim Kalim, and those the owner gets the majority of the meat to eat, after the Kohen gets their portion and the Mizeach gets his portion. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi Agnili holds that Kodshim Kalim are considered Mum and Violence.
Because you eat
the majority of it. So, as opposed to the Chachamim holds that if it belongs to the Edishah, the Meshulchan Gavoyah, the Edishah gives you a portion of it. You, the owner.
A portion.
Well, not the whole thing, but whatever, the majority of it, fine. The Edishah gives you the majority, but nevertheless, it's still considered Hashem's property, which he then bestowed upon you.
Not Rabbi Shimon.
Rabbi Yitzchak really says it's his property, and the Chachamim say that not. So fine, the Reisha of our life is just all like Rabbi Yitzchak really, and we're talking about Kodshim Talon. When we said Kodshim would specifically mean Kodshim Kalim, and those are the kind that you're most to,
right.
Then in the Sefer, we bring in Reb Shimon's opinion, who mentions B'chor and Maimon. Okay. The question is, have a Kodshim Maimon Kodu? So what are you telling me then? The implication is that you would say that if it was Kodshim, for example, an Ola or a Chatos or an Osham that you had in the city. My, what are you going to say? Yipadu? They should be redeemed because you're going to say that nobody holds that they're considered the owner that
from both the Reisha and the Sefer.
No, from the Reisha.
From the Reisha.
When you're saying the Reisha had said Kodshim is Be'ach Yomutz.
Yeah.
So the question is if you're going to say that Kodshim is Be'ach Yomutz means specifically Kodshim Kalim according to Rabbi Yossi Agnili, and then you're going to say, however, Kodshim Kalim is Yipadu. They should be redeemed. Or Yiru, maybe they should be left to pasture like an Osham or whatever. The question is, Adatoni Sefer Kodshim Bedekabayis Yipadu, then why is the Braisa just making a distinction between Kodshim Mizbeach, which have Kedushas Aguf, versus Kodshim, which have Kedushas Domin? Why make that distinction? Sorry, between Kodshim Mizbeach versus Kodshim Bedekabayis, Kedushas Aguf versus Kedushas Domin, within Kodshim themselves, within Kodshim Mizbeach themselves. The Braisa could be pointing out a distinction within Kodshim themselves, within Kodshim Mizbeach themselves.
Kodshim Mizbeach is what?
Ones that are brought on the Mizbeach. You have Kodshim like Ola and Chatos, and you have Kodshim Kalim like Shlomim and Bechor.
Right.
Why is the Braisa?
They're called Kodshim Mizbeach. Both of them
are called Kodshim Mizbeach because they're both brought on the Mizbeach. They both have Kedushas Aguf.
Right.
But one is Kodshim, one is Kodshim Kalim.
Right.
If you're going to tell me that the Braisa, that the Tanakama of this Braisa is Rabbi Yossi Agnili, who holds that Kodshim Kalim are Mom
and
Violence, but not Kodshim, then why is the Braisa only making a distinction between Kodshim Mizbeach, all kinds of Kodshim Mizbeach, Kodshim Kalim, versus Kodshim Bedekabayis, make a distinction between Kodshim Mizbeach themselves? That there'd be a difference.
The Braisa talks about
versus Kodshim Bedekabayis, without saying any distinction within Kodshim Mizbeach.
Right.
Adatoni Sefer Kodshim Bedekabayis Yipadu, instead of mentioning in the Sefer that Kodshim Bedekabayis should be redeemed, let it make a distinction within Kodshim Mizbeach itself, by Medvarmum or Kodshim Kalim. When is this talking about that you leave them to die because they're considered Mom and Bailim is the Kodshim Kalim, Ava Kodshim Yipadu, but when it comes to Kodshim Yipadu, they should be redeemed or they should be left to pasture.
It doesn't say that. No, it doesn't say that. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you say the Kodshim Kalim, you cannot redeem them, right?
Because they're Mom and Bailim.
Kodshim
are not Mom and Bailim. Everybody agrees Kodshim are Mom and Gavoya. They're Shlal Shemayim. They're not Shlala. They're not the Shlal of the city.
And therefore?
So therefore, Mela, according to Rabbi Yochanan, fine. Zevach Roshayim Ta'eva. Doesn't matter what kind of korban. Either way, it belongs to a Rosha, and it's repulsive to Hashem. So therefore, that's it. You don't want it or its value to be on the Mizbeach. But according to Rish Lakish, who doesn't accept that idea, he says that only when it's Mom and Bailim, so if it's Kodshim, which are not Mom and Bailim, why is the Braisa implying that they also have to be left to die? Why can't you bring them? Why can't you leave them to pasture until they develop a more? Or be poed to them, as the case may be. The answer is true. The Braisa could have said that, but given the ikka chatas shemesu baalel, but among kodshim, one type of kodshim is a chatas, and the din is that a chatas whose owner has died, the lemisa azla. In that case, that is again halacha l'mishmasina that it has to be left to go to lemisa like psikolei. So it's not a definitive thing. The Braisa could not have said that kodshim should be left to pasture because that wouldn't be true of all kodshi kodshim. It would be true of an ola, it would be true of an asham, but it would not be true of a chatas.
Because
that's the din. A chatas from Mesabala, a chatas whose owner died, has to be left to die. In this case, the owner is dying because he's being killed as one of the Rishayim of the Irani Dachas. So that's it then. So in that case, you can't say as a definitive statement that all kodshi kodshim found in the Irani Dachas should be left to pass through or should be redeemed, because that wouldn't
that's
be true of a chatas.
Way.
It's the only one, but nevertheless.
They don't belong to that category. They would what?
So in other words, the Shlokish might say like this. Yes, it's true that if you found Kodshi Kodshim in there, you would redeem them or leave them to pasture. Unless it was a Chassas and then Yamutsu. Because that's the usual rule with a Chassas. On the other hand, with Kodshim, so you can't definitively say that Kodshi Kodshim should be redeemed because that's not always the case. But you can say as a blanket statement that all Kodshi Kalim should be destroyed, should be left to die, because all kodshim kalim, according to the Yosei Aglili, are mom and bialim. They belong to the owner. They're not considered to be considered shlal shemayim. They're not property of Hashem. They're property of the owner.
That's just
kodshim kalim.
Yeah, according to
Yosei Aglili. Fine. Rish Lakish can understand the Braisa, according to the Yosei Aglili. I can understand why Rabbi Yechanan does not want to learn the Braisa like Rish Lakish, because this is Zevach Hashoyim Te'eva, because after all, you have a process. That's a Zevach Hashoyim Te'eva. So therefore, he understands that as a blanket statement, you never want the animal itself or its value to be brought to the carbon.
Whatever carbon it is.
Whatever carbon it is, yeah. Kodshim Kalim, Kodshim Kalim, doesn't matter. Kodshim is Ve'ach. Ela Rish Lakish, my time, Allah Omer Kerab Yechanan. Why doesn't Rish Lakish agree with Rabbi Yechanan? Why does he have to shtelain why does he have to shtelain the Braise as according to the Yosei Aglili and start making distinction between different types of karbanos? The reason is Omalach, Rish Lakish will answer you. Ki Amrinan Zevach Hashem Te'eva. Sure, of course I agree. The Pasuk says Zevach Hashem Te'eva. But that only applies Hani Mili Hecha De Isnu Be'nayu. That only applies when the actual animal itself still exists. You want to bring the actual animal itself as a korban, sure, I agree that's off limits. Zevach Hashoyim Te'eva. Avol Hocha, but in this case over here, you're talking about redeeming it. You're talking about either letting it wait to pasture until it develops a mum and then selling it and using the money for another korban, or l'chatchila redeeming it and using the money to buy another korban. Kivin to Ishtini Ishtini. Once it changed. It's not the original korban that you could say on it, Zevach Hashoyim Te'eva anymore.
After Avodah, you mean?
After it was sold to buy another animal, Rish Lakish holds Zevach Hashem Teva only applies to the original animal itself.
It was not sold.
That was not right. So yes, if you find an Asham or an Ola or a Shlomim or what have you in the city, then Rish Lakish will agree that animal itself cannot be brought to the carbon. If it's Kodshim Kalim, he'll say Rav Yitzchak really will say that has to be left to die because it's mom and violin. If it's Kodshim Kodshim, anything other than a Chatas, then fine, you can leave it to pasture. The chassis would have to be most do anyway.
But once
you do leave it to pasture and you eventually sell it and eventually develop some mum and you sell it, why shouldn't you be able to bring to use the money for another carbon? That's not Zevach Hashoyim Te'ev anymore. That's the money for an animal that was Zevach Hashoyim. So Rish Lakish doesn't have a problem with that.
That's only the one that you leave kachin, you leave to have a mum.
The general rule that according to the Shlokish, what you would say is yes, kodshim, he would say that this braita, which is according to the Yosei Aglili, would be saying that kodshim of any kind except for chatas, which has special rules of its own, should be left to pasture until they develop a mum. Kodshim kalim, according to the Yosei Aglili, would all have to be left to die because they're mum and bialim, and chatas would also have to be left to die because that's a special rule by chatas. He would say that the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yosei Aglili and say that no Kodshim are considered Mom and Bailim, and also not Rabbi Shimon, the Chachamim would disagree with Rabbi Yosei Aglili and Rabbi Shimon, they would have to say that all Kodshim, Kalim, or Kodshim, or Kodshim Kalim, would be left to pasture and sold, etc., except for a Chatas, which has special rules. Then we said in the Braita, Rav Shimon and Rav Shimon had said that when the prophet says that you destroy its animals, implies not animals of Bechor and Maiser. So the question is, Ramaya Skinnan.
Why?
Well, that's the question. Ramaya Skinnan. What is the scenario we're talking about? Elam of Tzmimian, are we talking about where this Bechor and Maiser are still Tomim and capable of being brought to the carbon? Well, why should then of course you don't need a mute from the word behemta. Shlal Shemayim, who it's anyway, it belongs to Hashem. It's anyway a korban that belongs to Hashem. It's not yours, exactly. So you don't need the word behemta. You already know from shlala v'lo shlal Shemayim. El of a bali mumin. Are you going to say that the animal is a bal mum, which in that case the din is that that you can shecht it and eat it, not you don't bring it as a korban. If it's a bechor, they shecht it and the koyan eats it. If it's a meiser, you shecht it and anybody can eat it. Shlala ninu, then of course that belongs to whoever it is, the koyan or the yisrael, as the case may be. It's shlala. It's every bit as much property of the city as anything else. Why shouldn't you have to? Why should Rav Shimon say that there's a miut on it? Why shouldn't you have to destroy it? So Ravina says we are actually talking about it is talking about Bali Mumin, but the reason why he's Mamayat is shouldn't we say that Bali Mumin should be considered shlal of the city, just like anything else? The reason is because it only applies to animals that can be eaten in the normal way that other animals can be eaten. Over here, the reason for the miut is because. So, okay, Rashi over here explains the verse is behemta implies animals where you don't need any qualification. You don't need any adjective to attach to them. It's just a behemah that was shechted and now can be. These have an adjective. These have a shem levi attached to them. It's not just behemah. It's behemoth bechor. It's behemoth maizah. And therefore, it's not included in behemta. When the prophet says behemta, implies only something that has no shame levi, something that has no secondary name. As opposed to over here, they have a secondary name. It takes them out of your rishus. No, well, in the end, the Gemara says, yes, it is considered shlal shemayim. But the point is, why is it shlal shemayim? Because the word behemta, that you should destroy all of behemta, all of its animals, implies only the ones of which you can just say these are its animals with no further qualification, as opposed to ones that you have to say this is an animal of cook, an animal of might. That's one explanation. There's a different explanation which Tosfos brings elsewhere in the Yagama brings over here, that the difference is Bechor and Meiser are different among other Korbanos. Other Korbanos, if they develop a mum and you're poi to them and then you're able to shech them and eat them, you're allowed
other
to,
than
other than Bechor and Meiser, you are allowed to, for example, you're allowed to go and weigh them in the normal way that you would weigh meat and sell them in the marketplace in the normal way that you would sell regular chul and meat. Bechor and Meiser are not like that. Even they develop a mum and you shech them and the koyan eats the Bechor or the Yisrael eats Meiser, the din is you still have restrictions. You're not allowed to weigh them in the marketplace and sell them in the butcher shop the way you would sell ordinary chul and meat. We'll learn in a year and a half or so about the Shem when we get them assessed to Bechoris. We'll learn the details of it, but that's the fact.
You cannot weigh them in whatever.
You're not allowed. If you're going to sell them, you have to sell. You can't weigh them in the same manner in which you weigh ordinary meat.
So how are you going to sell them?
So you sell them by estimate. You estimate the weight or whatever, or you give them. Yeah. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to treat them like ordinary meat, like ordinary chulin meat, and sell it in the normal way and weigh it and sell it in the normal way. That they have a certain residual kedusha even though they had a more. So therefore, in that sense, then that's what we mean. According to that explanation, behemta means only ones that can be sold like any other meat, whereas these can't. Either way, the point is that is why Rav Shimon would be saying that behemta means not behemoth bechor meiser, either because they have a shem levi, they have a secondary name, or because even now, as bali mumin, they still have restrictions that regular chul and meat does not have.
And who doesn't agree with him?
So that's Rav Shimon is saying that. Everybody agrees with the basic dinim. Everybody agrees with the concept that a bechor meiser cannot be weighed in the marketplace, etc. The difference is Rav Shimon is the specific one who's saying in the Braisa that makes it therefore that these bechor and meiser, which develop the mum, are not considered behemta. They're not considered regular animals of the irani dachas to have to be destroyed. The chachamim. So that's the thing. That's what I was saying before, that the Rambam and the Ravid would disagree. Is Rav Shimon agreeing with the chachamim? And they would agree with each other, and therefore the Chachamim would also agree with that. Rav Shimon is just the one who's spelling it out.
Okay.
Or that Bechor and Meister are excluded like that. Or do the Chachamim disagree with Rav Shimon? And in that case, the halacha would be like the Chachamim. Opliga de Shmuel. Now, the Gemara points out, this understanding of Ravina's This understanding of Ravina's, of the Machloikis, disagrees with Shmuel's understanding. Dama Shmuel, because Shmuel says, Hakol Karev Vahakol Nifter. Rav Shimon says, everything is offered and everything is offered and everything is redeemed. So the question is, my karma, what does Shmuel mean by that? Hakol karma, what he means is like this. Kol Shekarev Kishu Tam Nifter Kshuba Mum. Anything which, when it's a tam, is brought on the mizbeach, were it not belonging to an iron adachas, we're not getting into that. We're talking about the general. We're trying to distinguish between different types of korbanos. When you have a korban that, if it's a tam, is brought as a korban, the niftek shobal mum, but the din is also that once it develops a mum, it's able to be redeemed, which is true of most kinds of korbanos, oila, osham, shlomim, etc. Right. No, chatos. I think maybe even chatos also. Chatos, you have shemei to baalei. If there's the owner dies, then it has to be left with that. If it has a mum, I think also it can be nifteh. I don't remember about that. Anyway, mishlal imit, that the miut on it is, since the pasuk says shlalof, that the spoils of the city have to be destroyed, implying not something that belongs to Hashem, then such a korban is such a korban. You have a miut on it from that word, from that word shalol. That's not shlalof. It's shlal shemayim. Therefore, it wouldn't have to be destroyed. Because of the miyot of shalom. Not from the word shalom. Remember, you have two different miyotim in the circle over here. You have shlala, which means, but not shlal shemayim. And you have behem tah, which we're trying to figure out over here. What do we mean from the word behem tah? It's animals. So Shmuel is saying, any korban that can be redeemed when it's a bal mum, we learn from the miyot shlala, that it doesn't have to be destroyed because it's not shlala, it's shlal shemayim. It belongs to Hashem. Anything which, if it's a tam, is brought to the korban, but if it develops a mum, cannot be redeemed, it still has kedusha. To go in b'chor and meiser, namely b'chor and meiser, where the din is even an animal that's b'chor or meiser behema, even once it develops a mum, you cannot redeem it. You cannot redeem it. You can shecht it and eat it, and you can shecht it and eat it, but you still have, we said before, the b'chor is eaten by the kohen, or the meiser is eaten by anybody. But they still have rules, as we said before, for example, you're not allowed to weigh them in the marketplace, like regular meat,
and
they cannot be redeemed, and only tohurim can eat them, etc. Mebehema nafka, that we learn the miut from the word, behema. So it says behemta, meaning not behemoths that have a shame levi, that have a secondary name, or that have rules on them that don't apply to other behemoths. So within that, by the way, the marshal and the marshal disagree in their understanding of Rashi. Is what Shmuel is saying, this rule that Shmuel is saying, does it work only according to Rish Lakish? That's how the Marshal learns, that it only works within what Rish Lakish was saying before, that there's a distinction between different types of korbanos. That Rish Lakish was the one who said before, there's a distinction between different types of korbanos, whether they're mamon bailim, whether they're mamon gavoya, or whatever, whereas Rish Lakish, who had said, Rabbi Yechon, who had said, Zevach Roshayim Te'eva, he wouldn't accept any of these distinctions. That's according to Marshal. Marshal learns that no, what Shmuel is saying can work even according to Rabbi Yechanan. Even according to Rabbi Yechanan, yes, Zerach Hashayim Ta'eva in general, but even he could say that there are different kinds of miyotim over here, and say that some of these cases, if they develop a mum, that the Rabbi Yechanan would be saying is rule if they're a tam, and that they themselves can't be brought to the korban, and that you can't use their value or whatever, but if they develop a mum, that they shouldn't have to be destroyed, even Rabbi Yechanan might agree with that. They can't be used for korbanos, but maybe they don't have to be destroyed. That's according to Marsha. Okay. Then the Mishnah continued, continued, Truma Fiu Kohu. We said that Truma that is found in the Irani Dacha, you can't burn it, because the part belongs to the Eivishter, it's mum and gavoya. But on the other hand, you don't, and also we bezoyan to it. On the other hand, you can't just eat it, because it is part of the possessions of the Irani Dacha. So we said your cover would have to be left to rot. Amr of Chista, loishonu ela truma biyad Yisrael. Yeah. Amr of Chista, loishonu ela truma biyad Yisrael. This is only talking about if the truma is still in the hands of the Yisrael. He has not yet given it to the Kohen. Aval truma biyad Kohen, but if the truma is already in the hands of the Kohen, we're there, it's already mammon of the Kohen. Pivot to Mamonu, who, since it is his mammon, if this Kohen is one of the people from the Irani Dacha, Tisaris, it still gets burnt like any other property of his.
Doesn't
look interesting
anymore.
Yeah. Most of Rabbi Yosef, says,
if it's in the hands of Israel, it doesn't get burned.
Because if it's in the hands of the Israel, it's still considered Mammon. It's still considered Mammon.
It's
no, because once it's given to the Kohen, it becomes his Mammon.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
But if it happens to be Israel, in any case, we say kol shalom.
Yeah, but it doesn't. But it doesn't yet. The law. That's the thing. It's kind of in limbo right now. It still has not been given to the. It doesn't belong to the Yisrael. And Rashi says, in fact, what if he could conceivably have given it to a Kohen who lived outside the city and did not worship Avodah Zarah. So therefore, you can't say it should be burnt because it's in a way like a pikadon that belongs to another city. And you learned yesterday, a pikadon that belongs to another city, you don't burn. On the other hand, it is you can't be mocked to it because what if he could have also given it to one of the kohenim here in town, and it would have been also. So therefore we sort of split the difference and we say you're covered. So Reb Chista is saying once you gave it to the kohen and belongs to one of the kohenim in the city, that's it. You burn it like any other possession to the city. Masiv Reb Yosef, no, because Masiv Reb Yosef, Reb Yosef says, I have a stira. We learn later on in the Braita, Maisu Sheni, the Kisvei HaKodesh Yigonzu. We say that Maisu Sheni that's found in the city, or Kisvei HaKodesh, books of Tanakh, Yigonzu, should be put in Geniza. Now, Maisu Sheni b'yad Yisrael, Ketruma b'yad Koyen Domi, Maisu Sheni in the hands of Yisrael is exactly equivalent to Truma in the hands of a Koyen, in the sense that just like the Kohen, once he has the Truma, can eat it. The Yisrael can eat the Maisa Sheni. All he has to do is redeem it and take the money to Yerushalayim, or take it itself to Yerushalayim. So he himself would be allowed to eat it. And we say, the Kasani Yigonzu, and we're saying they should be put in Geniza. So by the same logic, the Truma in the hands of the Kohen should also be put in Geniza, right, or buried or whatever. Why are you distinguishing?
More Kedusha by the Kohen.
No, that's not. No, rather we have to say what we said, this is how it was said. Amar Chista, what the opposite. When do we say that you kovu, that you leave it to rot, if the truma is already in the hand of the Kohen? Aval truma b'yad Yisrael, but if the truma is still in the hand of the Yisrael, don't leave it to rot at all, certainly don't burn it. Tinos on the Kohen should be iracher. Give it to a Kohen in another city, who is not, where his possessions are not going to be burnt as part of the Eoni Dachas, and that's that.
And if he keeps it?
The other coin keeps it. It gives him to hate.
If Israel keeps it,
so he can't. It's not his to keep. So therefore, when we're burning the Irani Dachat, we take that truma and give it to a coin in another city. And that's it. It's not considered to belong to the city. It's like the Kodin that was in the city. So therefore, now it's exactly similar to Maisa Sheni. So now we're saying if it's in the hands of the coin in the city, you're covered. Then you leave it to rot. Similarly, Maisa Sheni b'yad Yisrael yigonzu, it's put in Geniza, which amounts to the same thing, you leave it to rot. As opposed to, if the truma is in the hands of the Yisrael and is not yet given it to the Kohen, then you give it to a Kohen in another city. Okay. Shnan Hossam. So now getting into the matter of Maisa Sheni. We learn in a Mishnah elsewhere, it's not actually a Mishnah, it's actually a Braita elsewhere. But we learn a Braita as follows. Issa shal Maisa Sheni p'turah min achalah. Dough of Maisa Sheni is potter from taking challah from it. Digri Rav Meir, so says Rav Meir. V'chachamim machayven, v'chachamim say it's still chayev in challah. So we have to figure out why. Amar of Chitz, the machloikas of Maisa Sheni b'Yerushalayim. The machloikas is specifically when this Maisa Sheni is already in Yerushalayim, where it can be eaten. And the machloikas is, did Rav Meir saw the Maisa Sheni mamon gavoya? Rav Meir holds, even though it's already in Yerushalayim and you're able to eat it, it's still mamon gavoya. It's still property that belongs to Hashem. Just that Hashem gives you permission to eat it as Maisa Sheni, with the kedusha of Maisa Sheni. Therefore, since it's mamon gavoya, you do not have to take challah from it, because challah only has to be taken from Arisoi Seichem, only from your dough, not from dough that belongs to Hashem. But Rabbanan Sabri mamon hedi.
Even though Hashem gives you
a gift? Yes. Rabbanan, same way as you said on the top of the Amud about Kodshim, that according to the Chachamim against Rav Yosi Agrili, that Kodshim Kalam are not Mom and Bailim. Yeah, there's no question. Everybody agrees, says in the pulpit, that the owner gets to eat the majority of a Shlomim or Korban Pesach or Bechor or what have you. Nevertheless, it's still considered Mishulchem Gavoya Kazachu. You're being Zeichen at Mashem's table. The same thing over here. Rabbanan Sabri Mom and Hedyot, whereas the Rabbanan hold, it's not Mom and Gavoya, it's Mom and Hedyot. And therefore, you have to take challah from it, just like from any other dough that belongs to a hedyot. But if we're talking about that this dough of Maisa Sheni is outside your shalayim, where you're not allowed to eat it, divrei hakol potur, then gvulin means anywhere outside your shalayim. Yeah. Then everybody would agree that it's mom and gavaya. Rashi brings two explanations. One is because mom and gavaya, and therefore would be potur even if it went to the chacham. Rashi says the second explanation is because, one is because the only way to eat it is to be poyder, and number two, Rashi says it's because there's no heter achila at the time when you made the dough, at the time when you kneaded the dough, which is the time it becomes chayiv and challah, it was also to eat. So therefore, it can't be called aris seichem, it can't be called your dough, because you don't have the right to eat it.
By the time you made that dough, it was already
at the time you made that dough, it was already ma'aser sheni, because it's made from grain of ma'aser sheni, yeah. Okay, so divrei hakol potter, everybody would agree then, says Rav Chisda, that it's potter. Most of Rav Yosef, so again, Rav Yosef asks, what about from our b'raisa? Ma'aser sheni v'kisva kodesh yigonzu. Let's go back again to our b'raisa that we said if you find ma'aser sheni in the, if you find ma'aser sheni in the Irani Dachas, then we have to put it in Geniza. So b'mayaskin, which, in other words, the implication being that, again, it's sort of halfway between Mamon Gavoya and Mamon Hegit. So the question is why? B'mayaskin, what's the
comparing?
Well, he said ma'aser sheni is ma'aser sheni. That's ma'aser sheni in an Irani Dachas. This is ma'aser sheni as far as Chala. So b'mayaskin, what is the scenario? Elam of Yerushalayim, are we talking about that you found this dough in Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim was declared an Irani Dachas, and was saying that then Rav Meir would say that the Chachamim rather would say it's Mamon Hegit, therefore it's like any other property that belongs to the city. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is, Mihabi Irani Dachas. How can Yerushalayim become an Irani Dachas in the first place? Vahatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Sorat Gorim Nem of Yerushalayim, there are 10 special dinim that apply to Yerushalayim, the Zu'achat Man, and one of them is the following, all of them are listed in a Nasus Irani Dachas. Yerushalayim can never become an Irani Dachas because an Irani Dachas only applies to a city that is divided among the Shvatim. In a city that Yerushalayim was not divided among the Shvatim. Yes. The El of the Iracheres, Vaskul Zava. So are you talking about that you found, are you talking about that it was in a different city, that it belonged to, it was dough of ma'aser sheni that was in an Irani Dachas, and then you brought it to your Shalayim, and then you're going to say that you should put it in Geniza. Why? It's already been grabbed by the walls. As soon as it comes into your Shalayim, you're not allowed to take it out of your Shalayim. Therefore, we learned yesterday, that when you have something that cannot be brought back into the city, in that case, we talk about when it's too far away, but here it would be the same thing, where it can't be brought in because of the Isser, because you're not allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim. Because it's in Yerushalayim. Once you take Ma'aser Sheni into Yerushalayim, you're never allowed to take it out. So therefore, you can't bring it to the Irani Dachas to burn it. So therefore, why should you have to? El Olav Bidvulin. So obviously, we must be talking about this dough has never been brought to Yerushalayim. It's been outside Yerushalayim the whole time. And we're still saying you don't burn it as property of the Irani Dachas. You just put it in Gniza, implying that it's not really property of an Irani Dachas, as opposed to, according to the Rabbanan, you would say it is. So according to the Rabbanan, who are saying that dough of Ma'aser Sheni outside Yerushalayim is chayev, according to Rav Chisda, is saying that if it's Ma'aser Sheni b'gvulin, everybody would agree it's potter from Chala, because it's considered Momen Gavoya. But over here, we seem to be saying that if this dough of Irani Dachas is outside Yerushalayim, it never came to Yerushalayim, you don't consider it Momen Gavoya, you consider it mamun of the Irani Dachas, and therefore, okay, you don't burn it because of the kedusha that it has, but you still put it in Gemara. And so it's, no, we are talking about it came from a different city, then it was brought into Yerushalayim. You said, what about Poltur Mechitzis? Once it's brought into the walls, you're not supposed to take it out. Here we're talking about after it was brought into Yerushalayim, it became Tomei. So now you're allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim. So the question is, in that case, then, why don't you redeem it? Why are we talking about, once it's Tomei, you can redeem it. And we know you can do that. The Omer of Allah, the Minayim L'Maaseh Sheni Shenitma Shepoyinot Afilu B'Yerushalayim. How do we know if Ma'aseh Sheni becomes Tomei, you can redeem it, you can exchange it for money even in Yerushalayim? Tamad Lo Emolei Suchos Te'etzer. Therefore, the Pasuk says that when can you exchange Ma'aseh Sheni for money? When can you redeem it? If Loi Suchos Te'etzer, if you're not able to Te'etzer it, the simple meaning of Te'etzer is you can't carry it. It's too much, too heavy to carry to Yerushalayim. But the word Te'et, the ain't Te'et El Achila, another, the meaning of the word Te'et is eating. As we find by Yosef and his brothers, that he gave portions of food to them. So therefore, Loi Suchos Te'etzer can also mean you're not allowed to eat it. Why are you not allowed to eat it? Because Ma'aseh Sheni that became Tomei. Ma'aseh Sheni that became Tomei, you're not allowed to eat. And the Pasuk is saying you can exchange it for money. So therefore, the question becomes then, so even if it came into your shalayim, so all if it became tummy, then if it became tummy, redeem it, and then it's chulin again, and then you can take it out of your shalayim, bring it back to the Yoni Dachas and burn it. Why are you saying you're going to? The answer is Hach of my cool. Yes, but we're not talking about over here the original dough is originally from Maaser Sheni, and it was brought to your shalayim and then became tummy. We're talking about that you had taken the original Maaser Sheni, you exchanged it for money, you brought the money to your shalayim, you bought something else with it, you bought other food with it, which you were then supposed to eat that food in your shalayim, and then that other food became tummy. And then you had, for example, originally you had, let's say, grapes of Maaser Sheni. Instead of bringing them to your shalayim, you redeemed them for money. You took the money to your shalayim, you bought with it, let's say, for example, meat. Then the meat became tummy. That you cannot be poisoned. So the question is, why not? Well, let's say, why indeed can't you be poisoned? It's not, as in fact, we learn in a Mishnah in Maaser Sheni. If you have food that was brought with Maaser Sheni money and became tummy, you pod them, then you can redeem it. So what's the difference, whether it's the original food or whether it's something else that you bought in your shalayim? The answer is, could it be Yehuda? Fine, but our Braita can be going like Rabbi Yehuda. The question is, why should there be a difference between the original dough that was Maaser Sheni versus dough that was made from grain that you bought in your shalayim with Maaser Sheni money? And the answer is, Rabbi Yehuda would say that what you bought with Maaser Sheni money is not strong enough to be able to be poida, to be poida for the kedusha of it to go on to the money. You cover, you have to bury. So that's why in our case with the dough of Irani Dachas, we're not talking about the original dough that came from the Irani Dachas. We're talking about that it was bought with money that came from an Irani Dachas. So that when we say you're going to, that would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. The problem is, then why are we bothering mentioning that the din would apply only to dough from an Irani Dachas? In other words, where it was bought with money from an Irani Dachas, after the Dalmanami, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would generally apply. Anytime you had dough that was bought in your shalayim and became tomei, Rabbi Yehuda would say you cover. Why are we saying you gundu as if it's a special thing that applies to an Irani Dachas when, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would always apply? So never mind, we're not talking about that it became tome. So we reject the idea that it became tome, because if it became tome, manafshach. According to the other chachamim, you could be poided and bring it back to the Irani Dachas and burn it. And according to the Yehuda, there's no difference whether it was originally money from an Irani Dachas or whether it was money from a non-Irani Dachas. Now, No, we're talking about, after all, that the Maaser Sheni, the dough, was still tar, and it was brought to your shalayim. You're asking that once kulturu mechitzes, then it should be, you're never allowed to take it out of your shalayim, so it shouldn't even have to be your gumdu, you shouldn't even have to bury it, because it should be mutter to eat, because kulturu mechitzes, because the walls of your shalayim grabbed it and gave it to Dusha. The answer is, we're going to nopal mechitzes. The scenario we could be talking about over here is where after it came into the walls of your shalayim, the walls fell down. What do you mean, never happens? It happens sometimes. The walls fell down, or we're knocked down, or whatever. Yeah, imagine, for example, Maaser Sheni is in your shalayim, and then enemies come and attack your shalayim and destroy the walls. The Chiddur Rava, and the reason why that makes a difference is because of what Rava says. The Amar Rava, Mechitza Lechol Darai. So the concept that you need to have, that you need to eat Maaser Sheni inside the walls of your shalayim, that is the Raisa, that you can only eat Maaser Sheni in your shalayim. Likloit Jirabonim, but the concept that Mechitzas Kelpei, the concept that once you bring it into the wall, you're never allowed to take it out again, and you're never allowed to employ it, Rava says that's only Jirabonim. Therefore, Mechitzas Jirabonim, he is Nurul Mechitzas. When did Jirabonim make that Zera? When the walls are still standing. He left Nurul Mechitzas Loi. The Chachamim did not extend that Zera to when the walls have come down. Therefore, so if the walls were still standing, Taki, you'd be allowed to eat it. Because the walls are no longer standing, therefore the Gzera Dirabanan not to take it out no longer exists. Therefore, in principle, you could take it out. But when do we say that you don't have to burn it if the walls are still standing? If the walls are no longer standing, you don't bring it back to the Irani Dachas to burn it. But nevertheless, you still don't eat it either.
What do you do?
So therefore, that's what you said. That's the case when we say you gonzu. That would be the specific case when we say in Gnizeh. So in other words, if the walls were still standing, it wouldn't even be Yigonzu, you could eat it, because it's still Tahar. But because the walls have fallen down, therefore we say that Yigonzu instead, you put it in Gnizeh.
You still can't take it.
Well, you could in principle, because the din de rabbanan doesn't apply anymore, because the walls have come down. Nevertheless, though, we still say you can't eat it either, because there's no walls. But so therefore, all you can do is put it in Gnizeh. Doesn't matter. Eat the fascist in Yerushalayim, I guess. I don't know. The Ravid actually has a different girsa over here, which he takes out the words about the mechitzas falling down. He says, never mind that. Just the fact that the whole concept of taking it out of Yerushalayim is only Dirabanan, you can't say that the Din Dirabanan is going to override the Din Daraisa to make it that it should be mutter to make it that it should be mutter to eat. So therefore, we're still going to apply the Din Dirabanan to the extent that you put it in Gnizeh, but not to the extent that you're going to say that you can actually eat it in Yerushalayim, given that it did come from an Irani Dach. Then we said in the Mishnah, Kisve HaKodesh Yigonzu, in the Braitha rather, we said Kisve HaKodesh Yigonzu, we said Kisve HaKodesh, that actually it was in the Mishnah as well, Kisve HaKodesh that are found in the Ir Nidachas should be put in Gnizeh. The Gemara says, Masnis in the Loikir of Eliezer. Our Mishnah then evidently does not go like Rabbi Eliezer. Titania, Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, Kol Ir Sheyeshba Afilu Mezuzah Achas, if you have a city that has even one single mezuzah in it, let alone Kisve HaKodesh, let alone books of Tanakh, Ein Anasis Ir Nidachas, cannot the Chlal become an Ir Nidachas. The Pasuk says you should burn with fire the city and all of its possessions, kolil, completely. The heich of the ikum mezuzah loyefsher. Now, if you have a mezuzah in the city, you're not able to burn it completely because you can't burn a mezuzah. Dichtiv loytatsum came Hashem alekechem, because the Pasuk says you're not allowed to destroy names of Hashem, because we are Kurdish.
Everybody should agree with that,
no? No, because the Chachamim will say that you can. The Chachamim will say that that's why you say you put them in Gnizeh. You Taka don't burn them, because Lysasim Kane, but Rabbi Eliezer will say, if you can't burn the whole Shlala, then that's it, you can't do anything. Again, written in Peroka Dechtiv, you need the Pasuk to be fulfilled exactly as written. The Chachamim will say, you are fulfilling the Pasuk exactly as written. A Mezuzah is not Shlala, it's Shlal Shemayim. Therefore, it's excluded anyway. So you put it in Gnizeh, yeah. In a way, it belongs to the Balabas, true, because he can sell it. But the Chachamim will still, so that's enough to make it that you put it in Gnizeh. Achroinim asked the question: why don't we say Eser Doicha Loisetzer? That you have the Eser to burn the city. Why is that Doicha the Loisetzer of destroying names of Hashem? And they give a number of different answers. One is that destroying names of Hashem, like burning a mezuzah or whatever, is not only a loisetzer of loisasim kain, it's also an eser. Eser shem alekecha tira, or various other possible esers. So therefore, and we know an eser can't be doicha a loisetzer and an eser. In fact, we look, it can be doicha a loisetzer only, but not a loisetzer man. We learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned in Perek Ben Sarah Ramurda, that in fact, for that reason, Rabbi Eliezer holds that an Irani Dachas is never going to happen, never happened, never will happen, because it's impossible. You're going to have a city that doesn't even have one single mezuzah, a Jewish city that doesn't even have one single mezuzah.
But that's factual. It's not.
No, the Chachamim disagree with that, because they say Yigonzu, they still say you can still make an Irani Dachas, you just put the mezuzahs in Gnizeh. They say, by the way, I saw by the way, a vote. This is why the halacha in Hilchos Mezuzah is, if you rent a house in Eretz Yisrael, you have to put up a mezuzah right away, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to in Chutzlot, if you have 30 days. One idea, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, is based on Rabbi Eliezer's opinion over here. Once you have a mezuzah in the city, it'll be impossible for it to become an Irani Dachas.
You have to wait 30 days.
No, in Chutzlot, you're allowed to wait 30 days. You have to put it up right away. Immediately, even if you rent it. If you buy, you have to put up regardless right away. But if you rent in Eretz Yisrael, you have to put up right away, and Chutz La'aretz you have 30 days. Then we said, Rav Shimon Omer, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chol, going back to the Mishnah, Rav Shimon had said that Hashem says that if you execute the din against the Irani Dachas, I consider it as if you brought an oiler before me. Now, we're not really dealing with that. We're dealing with the next part of the Mishnah, which is, we had a machloit that's between Rav Yosi Aglili and Rav Akiva. We know you're not allowed to rebuild the city as a city. As Paul said, v'hoyt ha'tel oilam, it should be a ruin forever. Are you allowed to rebuild it as gardens or parks? Rav Yosi Aglili said no, Rav Akiva said yes. So the question is, can we say that they are arguing regarding the concept that Rav Ovin said in the name of Rav Ila? The Omer of Ovin, Omer of Ila. Kol mokam shata moitze klal be'eser pras aloysese. Now we know, you have a concept of klal pras, that usually we say en b'klal ala mashav pras. But he says that if you find that the klal is said in connection with an eser, and the pras is said as a loysese, en donen oitze b'klal pras, then you would not consider it a klal prat. Now here you have a klal, v'hoi tzatei lo'olam, it should be a wound forever. You have a prat, which is an eser. Yeah, but the path is phrased as a loisis. A loisi bone oid, it should not be built, the pastures of the city anymore. And above in the same, that that's not considered a fall of path. Demar isle did above and Demar lesle did above in. Evidently, then, Rabbi Yosi Aglili would agree with Rav Ovin. Therefore, you don't have a klal of prat. You just have, in other words, a hoisa taylor. It has to be left as a ruin forever. Omar Letzle did Rav Ovin, whereas Rabbi Akiva would not agree with that. Because he would say that it doesn't matter. It's still not a klal of prat. Therefore, he's loisi bona oid. It cannot be built anymore as a city, but can be built as gardens or parks. Okay, so should we say that? The answer is loyce. Kula alma isla is rabavin. No, we can say everybody agrees with the oven concept. The hokum is bad if you have a cloud in the essay and a prop and a loyce that says not a cloud of prop. So therefore, you don't really have a cloud of prop here. The question is not whether we have a cloud of prop. The question is what the word oid. The hokum is again. Marisava oid lagam in mashma. Rav Yosi Aglili holds the word oid means at all, to build it up as anything at all, even as gardens or parks. And Rabbi Akiva would hold that oid means you can't make it again as it was before. The Yad Ramah points out we have the word oid can mean different things in different circuits. For example, we have Ki Hashem Hu Elokim B'Shemayim Ma'avalah Zidachon in oid. It doesn't mean there's nothing else, as in there's not even something, even a tiny bit, and even a vestige of anything like Hashem. There isn't anything else. That would be like Rabbi Yosi Aglili. You can't even make it like gardens or parks. As opposed to, you have oid, for example, oid. You're not allowed to come back on this way again, meaning exactly the same way. So Rabbi Akiva would be understanding oid over here, loisi bona oid, to mean like that, exactly the same way as a city. The gardens and parks would be fine. We said, ain't a nivnes of a... So we said, according to Rabbi Akiva, you can't rebuild the city as a city, but you can make it into gardens or orchards. So, in this connection, if you have in the Irani Dachas trees that have been uprooted from the ground, Asurin, and they're also Bahana, and they have to be burnt together with the rest of the city. Mechuborin Mutorin. If they're still attached to the ground, then they're Mutar Bahana. For the reason that we said before at the bottom of Kofi Bezamar Aleph about the hair, same idea, because you would need an extra step over here before you gathered them together. You'd need to first chop them down before you were able to gather them. Therefore, they're not included in the Nechosin. They're not considered included in the Shlal of the city that has to be gathered together and burnt.
So you can turn it into a park.
Well, besides that, you can turn it into a park. The point is, if you have any trees that weren't burnt together with it, they're not also Bahana.
Unless they're Rashiris.
What? Unless what?
But trees that belong
to a different city. Now, what do we mean by a different city? We're going to talk about it in a second. Ben Plushin, Ben Mechobarin also, whether they were detached from the ground or whether they're still attached, are still also. So my Iracheres, what do we mean by a different city? Amar Rav Chisda Yericho, the different city that we mean over here is Yericho. Namely, Dichtiv, specifically. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, right before they conquered Yericho, Yeshua tells the people, V'hoysa ir cherem di v'chol ha-shabal Hashem, the city should be cherem, it and everything that is in it to Hashem. Vayash by Yeshua ba'eta ilemer, and then the Pasuk continues that Yeshua made all the people swear as follows, Oro ish lifne Hashem, cursed is the person before Hashem, asher yokum uvonu at ha'ir ha'zoytes Yericho, who will get up and rebuild the city Yericho, v'chore yiyasdena, and if he does, he'll lay its foundations with his eldest son. In other words, his oldest son will die when he starts founding the city. Or with Tiira, Yaptiv Lotha. And if he doesn't listen, he still continues building, he'll end up, his youngest son will die as he's putting up the doors.
Right?
What's the history of Rani? That was the first city they conquered in Eretz Yisrael. So one idea, Mephoshim says, the reason is because Yericho, such a big nest happened that the walls fell in, the walls sank into the ground when they blew the shofars and all. He wanted that it should remain forever that way, that people should see that and see the nest. As opposed to, if you rebuild it, it's no longer going to be noticeable.
Yericho in the past place is a holy place.
No, well, it was. I mean, it was a city of Canaan. They were all Rishoyim. They were all David Azara. But when they destroyed it, Yeshua announced that nobody is ever allowed to rebuild it. No, so that's what we mean. When we say Ir Acheres, means, unlike a regular Ir Nidachat, where the trees that are still attached to the ground on Mutzvah Amos. Yericho, right, that's what we're saying. No, wait. Tanya, so now, we learn in a Braisa, what Yeshua meant was, Lo Yericho al Shem Ir Acheres, v'lo Ir Acheres al Shem Yericho. It means you're not allowed to build another. It means you're not allowed to build, to rebuild Yericho in its original spot and call it by a different name.
Yeah.
You're also not allowed to build a city elsewhere and call it Yericho. In other words, this way, both things. This way, everybody will always remember the next, because there won't be any other city named Yericho to confuse them, where people will say, hey, it looks like a normal city. It doesn't look like
it.
It's near it. I don't know if it's exactly the same place.
Yeah, it's Jericho, right?
Yes, yeah. But I don't know if it's exactly the same. No, 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 of course not. Yericho now is Israel, which is nowadays occupied by the Palestinians. Yeah, well, 1 second. Okay, so actually, 1 second. We're going to say in a second in the Gemara that a guy named Chiel eventually rebuilt a city and called it Yericho. After that, against this, and we're going to say that he got punished, Shaka. After that, Mephoshim explained, you're allowed to then rebuild even the original city itself, or to rebuild other, or to build other cities and call them Yericho, because once it's done already.
Once the
curse went. Once it was done already, once he was over on it one time, then that's it. Okay. Dichtiv, and how do we know that you're not allowed to, for example, build another city and call it Yericho? Dichtiv, Bona Chiel Beis Ha'Eli Yes Yericho. It says Chiel Beis Ha'Eli built Yericho. Rashi explains that Ha'Eli is Meloshon Olah, Meloshon a curse, because the curse Taka happened to him. Some other Mephoshim say that Beis Ha'Eli can also mean from Beis Ha'Eli. This is from the city of Beis Ha'Eli. Anyway, he built Yericho. Ba'aviram b'chore yisa, with Aviram, his eldest, he founded it. Or with Sgub Tzeire, he did blosser, and with the death of Sgub, his youngest, he set up its gates. And it was exactly as Yoshua had said. And by the way, Mephoshim points out, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, that here we're talking about, it's not that he built the original city of Yericho. He actually built a different city and named it Yericho. The Yerushalmi points that out on the basis of, for one thing, Yericho is in the territory of Shevet Binyamin. Chiel, the Yerushalmi says, was from Shevet Yehuda. So how did he? Why was a guy for Shevet Yehuda building in the territory of Binyamin? Must be it was a city elsewhere in the territory of Yehuda, which he named Yericho. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out this is the only place in Tanakh also where you have the name Yericho is actually spelt in the pasuk over here with a hey rather than a vav, to indicate it wasn't the actual city; it was a different city that he gave that name. And still, he had that punishment. So we see that the punishment applies even to somebody who builds a different city and calls it Yericho.
What did he call it, Yericho, when he started building, or
at the end? I don't know.
Beginning.
The Pashas at the beginning, because
his
oldest son died when he started doing it. So, Tanya, we learn in a place about Aviram b'chore Rosh Alohi l'Lilmoid. With his eldest son, Aviram, who was a Rosh, Taka didn't learn yet. He didn't learn his lesson. When it came to Sgub, his youngest dying, he should have realized, he should have learned a lesson. The question is, Aviram and Sgub, my Ohud. Rashi learns that the question is, Aviram and Sgub are both called Rishoyim. Where do we ever find that Aviram and Sgub did anything wrong? Marsha explains the question is a little bit different. We're calling in the Braisa, we're calling Aviram a Rosha, and saying, okay, he didn't learn his lesson when Aviram died, because he figured, okay, Aviram was a Rosha, he died for his own affairs. But at least when Sgub died, when Sgub did nothing wrong, he should have realized that something's wrong over here and stopped right then. How do we know that Aviram was a Rosha and Sgub was not? How does the Braisa take it as a given that that was the case? Ella, Hachakama, so what does it mean? The answer is Hachakama. Aviram b'chora, ha'ilalimud, wa'oisei Rosha, b'sgub tzeirim. Based on the fact that Aviram, his eldest son, died, that Rosha, Chiel, should have realized that his youngest son, Sgub, is in danger, and therefore they should stop building. And still, the word Rosha doesn't refer to Aviram or Sgub, the children, it refers to Chiel, the father. Right now, if the Pasuk called Aviram his eldest, don't we automatically know that Sgub is his youngest? Because the Pasuk only mentions he had two sons. What's the point of mentioning that Sgub is his youngest? What it means is Malamatrain, the Tabba Bahilach, now Aviram at Sgub. I mean, he had more children than that. He buried Aviram. Aviram died when he started the project, and then he didn't learn his lesson and continued, and his next son died, and then his next son after that, until he finally finished the project, and Sgub died, and still he didn't learn his lesson.
All his sons,
apparently, yeah. So, okay, so I was hoping we'd get a little further, but I guess after Meyer, then, we'll take a few more minutes and finish so that we can make the field master.
Yes.
So he doesn't record that detail, but I didn't dive in yet. Did the city that Chiel built, this other city named Yericho, was it a successful city? I don't know.
It doesn't matter. The father was
the call of still. No, the city itself. No, once the city is built, you're allowed to live there. Other people are, yeah, other people are not. Yeah, Chiel didn't have a bracha. He had a follow, but would that apply to us? Yeah, yeah. What's done is done, right? Yeah.
Same way as you have, for example, you know, all of this cool.